Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
I want to do one thing before we go to Children's Church, so nobody leave yet. You might not know this, but we actually have a new Marine here today. And give him a big hand. I want to call up Micah Shannon to the front, because when he left to join the Marines, we never had a chance to pray for him before he left, but we have the opportunity to do that now. And I told him, when he came in, I asked him if we could do this, but I told him that we're super proud of him and we're really all behind him, aren't we? And thankful for him. So, yeah. Hey, so let's pray for him. Lord, thank you for Micah. Thank you for his service to our country, his willingness to do that. I pray that you would be with him in this. You would watch over him. You would guide and direct his steps. Lord, that you would fill him with your Spirit, give him boldness, help him to trust in you as he's out there, and Lord, help him to walk your path, Lord, to stay on the narrow path, Lord, that you have provided for him, that you teach us. And so, Lord, we just thank you for him. We just pray over his whole family as he does this, and Lord, we know that you're going to be there with him, Lord. Help him to always have that in the front of his thinking for everything, and thank you for him. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Okay, children are dismissed up through fifth grade to go to Children's Church, and you can pick them up after the service. You ever watch that show, Kids Say the Darndest Things? I was thinking about that a little bit up here. Today, you know, you just never know. You never know what's going to come out when somebody's handed the mic, right? You just don't. So, but it's always fun, though, isn't it? Amen? All right, now it's our time to have a mountaintop experience. Amen? Amen? It is a great time at camp. I was glad that you got to hear some of what the messages and things were about. We got one more week. We got the junior week. And this next week, I don't know if you were able to see, but there are a lot of people in the back, but we have probably, there's usually about 40-some staff, 30, 40 staff up there for this junior camp. I think we've got about 26 of them coming from Elk Plain to serve up there. So it's a real strong week for our church there. And so we're really looking forward to that. Back here at the home fort, the home base where we are, the camp, okay, we are going through the book of James. And we love to just go through books of the Bible here. That's primarily what we do. We believe in expository preaching, where we preach out of the Bible what the Bible says. And we are doing our best to study the meaning of the Bible and then to see exactly how it applies to our lives, rather than just picking, you know, some subject and every week picking a new subject. You know, we want to study the Bible. That's what we do here. And so we're going through this book of James, which is written by who we believe to be the brother of Christ. The brother of Christ, and he's writing this, and kind of my summary of it was, he's writing to a people whose home is not this world, to tell them how to live a life in this world that's not their own, not their home. And doesn't that apply to us today? Amen? So where we are in this book is we are in James chapter 2, verse 14, starting in verse 14. These are really is a very well-known passage and a very important one to understand. So we're going to be looking today at verses 14 through 26, and I'm going to start by just reading the whole thing for you, okay? What good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warmed and filled, without giving them the things needed for the body, what good is that? So also, faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith apart from your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that God is one, you do well. Even the demons believe and shudder. Do you want to be shown, you foolish person, that faith apart from works is useless? Was not Abraham, our father, justified by works when he offered up his son Isaac on the altar? You see that faith was active along with his works, and faith was completed by his works. And the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God and it was counted to him as righteousness. And he was called a friend of God. You see that a person is justified by works and not by faith alone. And in the same way, was not also Rahab the prostitute justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out by another way? For as the body apart from the spirit is dead, so also faith from apart from works is dead. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word and thank you for the opportunity to look closely at this passage. And we ask your blessing on us and today that through your spirit, we would understand what this means, exactly what you mean by it, and that you would give us clear application to our lives, Lord, and even convict us and encourage us to do what you convict us of, Lord. We thank you, we love you, we praise you, and we're just so thrilled that we get to be here worshiping together. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. So back to the top of that. What good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can that faith save him? And that's the big idea here. Okay, the big idea is captured in the beginning, and then there's an example that comes after that, and the big idea is repeated again, and the idea is developed. And the idea really is this, that you can't separate faith and works, completely separate them. You can't have a faith that has no works, right? Now, we're big on this, and I think when we went through the book of Romans, we even repeated it, and it's even worth repeating again. When we think in terms of salvation, what is it we believe? We believe that we're saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. Amen? Remember that when we went through Romans? And the Protestant Reformation, what that was about was that the Roman Catholic Church, what they believed and continue to believe, is that we're not saved by grace alone, we're saved by a combination of grace and merit. We're not saved by faith alone, we're saved by a combination of faith and works. We're not saved by Christ alone, we're saved by a combination of Christ and ourselves. But what the Protestant Reformation was saying that no, there was a resistance to that. It was saying no, that's not the case. We're not saved. We add nothing to it. There's no works that we do. It is all God saving us. Amen? So we believe that, we teach that, we proclaim that. Now see if you can say this with me. We are saved by grace alone. Okay, let's practice that again. We are saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. All right, we're going to practice a little bit more, okay? We are saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. And that's really core to what we believe and what the Bible teaches. Okay, but this passage, this particular passage is one that helps us understand something and understand something really important. But before we go into this, let's kind of dig a little bit. Let's lay the foundation a little bit with this belief that we're saved by grace alone, through faith alone, and Christ alone. First, let me mention what that means, okay? Saved by grace alone. To be saved by grace alone means that what grace is when God gives you something you don't deserve. So to be saved means that you completely are undeserving of salvation. And guess who else is completely undeserving of salvation? This guy up here does not deserve salvation. There's nothing that I could ever do to deserve salvation. There's nothing that you could ever do to deserve salvation. But God gives salvation, and the salvation that he gives to every single person, even the best person in the world that you can think of, the nicest man or the nicest woman that seemed to live the best life, that person is still a sinner and separated from God, and it's only by God's grace that that person is saved. And it is grace alone. There is no merit. There is no looking at this person and saying, well, this guy, well, he's actually really talented and I could really use him, so I'll bring him into my kingdom because I need him. Guess what? It doesn't work that way. And God doesn't need our help. He doesn't need your money. He doesn't need your good looks, right? He doesn't need your personality, your sense of humor, your business knowledge, your hardworking, your work ethic. There's nothing that God looks at you or me and says, you know, I need that. I'm lacking in that supply, so I need that, so I'm going to bring him in. There's some merit in him. There's no merit. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Amen? Amen. You believe that? Understand that about yourself, that it's like there's no merit in you being saved, and it's all by God's grace alone that we're saved. Oh, thank you, Lord. That's the reaction, right? That's where we should be as we're saved. And how does that happen? It happens through faith. So we're saved by grace alone, through faith alone. There's only one way to be saved. That comes by faith. It does not come by works. It does not come by what we do. We can't stand before a holy God and say, you know, God, I've basically been a good person. I didn't murder anybody. You know, I didn't cheat my business, didn't cheat people. You know, we can't stand before God and claim this, because the fact is, if we were honest, and we have no choice. We were laughing a little bit in Bible study. There was a small group of us, but it was a good group. But we were laughing and mentioned this time, you know, when it was Sarai at the time, when God came and visited and said that she's going to have a baby, and she laughed at God. Remember that? And God said, you laughed at me. And she said, I didn't laugh at you. And he said, what did he say to her? Yes, you did laugh at me. That's what it's like for us when we lie to God. So you and I can't stand before a holy God and claim sinlessness, because God's been watching. He knows. He saw when you did that. He knows, right? So what we want to do is we want to come to God and we want to just lay it all down at his feet and acknowledge that we did it and admit what we've done and come before him and repent to him. But the only way that any person anywhere in any place could ever be saved is through faith in Jesus Christ. That's the message of the gospel. There is no other message. There is no other way taught to be saved. In fact, it's even taught that this is an exclusive way. The only way to be made right with God. Now think about it. God the Father sent his Son to die for our sins because he loved us. And he provided this way. And if we just say, well, I don't want that way, I want another way, you could see how we're alienated and separated from God. Because God didn't say you get to pick. God says, come this way, and come through Jesus, and come through the cross. Amen? Amen? I mean, how many of you have given your life to Christ? Are you fired up today? Are you here today and happy to be here and would rather be nowhere else because there are people here that are getting together celebrating Jesus? Amen? Amen? And you love Jesus? And think about all that Jesus has done for you. But the only way that we're ever going to be forgiven of our sins is through faith in Christ. And the message of the Bible is one of believing. And if you're here today and you don't believe, I mean, I can't fix that, but I can pray for you and you can pray about it. But if there's even a glimmer in you, like, I want to believe, I want this, I believe that's God working in your heart. God drawing you to himself. And the message is all about believing. Believing God. Believing what he's done. Believing that he loves you. Believing that he sent his Son to die on the cross for you. Amen. Got one in the back. Good amen in the back from the man getting ready to go to camp. He's getting fired up. So we're saved by grace alone, through faith alone. You can't, and let me add the last one, through faith in Christ alone. Because any faith is not enough. Like, you can have faith in something else. You're like, okay, I want to be saved through faith. And I put my faith in my husband, a woman might say. And she might say, I put my faith in my wife. Guess what? That's not going to work. If your faith is in your parents, you can't be saved by having faith in your parents. How about your faith in your savings account or your 401k or your investment? Do those things save you? Those things can't save you. It's the object of our faith, and it has to be Christ, and it must be Christ, and that's what saves. So we need to remember that. All right, so now there's some things that if we are saved that are true. And let me just give you like a little spoiler alert, like right up front. So you understand this. Because I really believe the Bible just makes this really clear. You cannot have the God who created everything, who spoke everything into existence. It wasn't even hard for him to make Mount Rainier. Right? The most beautiful things you can ever lay your eyes on, God imagined them. You things that you and I cannot fathom about the way the things work, God came up with it. Amen. You cannot have the Almighty come and live in you, take residence in you, and not be a changed person. You can't stay the same. You can't have God's Spirit living in you without Him producing some fruit. It's just not possible. That's what the Bible teaches. And you will not have God's Spirit living in you without some evidence of obedience and works and fruit that is produced by Him. Amen. And so when you look at this passage that we're looking at, if you were to completely divorce faith from works and say, okay, it doesn't matter what I do, it doesn't matter how I live my life because I have Jesus, right? Because I have faith in Jesus. And the fact is that there's no change in your life whatsoever, right? And you live exactly the way that you lived before. And you in fact act in ways that are completely against the Lord. If there's no evidence of that, then there's a warning for you in this passage. Because there's a kind of a faith that people have, or they think they have, or if you follow it closely, that they say that they have, that is not a saving faith. Not a saving faith. So what we're talking about here, and what the scripture says, is that if you have a saving faith, 100% of the time, there are things that go along with that faith. Now, I'm not going to tell you exactly how they look in everybody, because they come out differently, right? And if we really look at ourselves, we all know that, man, I'm still a sinner, right? And I still struggle all the time. I still live in the flesh and I still battle with it. But hopefully you can look at your life and say, I do see ways that I've changed. I see ways that I'm growing. I see ways that I'm becoming more obedient. I see choices that I make which are consistent with my faith, right? When Abraham believed God, he acted. And that was that, when somebody believes God, like how can you see it? Like what can you see? Can you see faith? Faith is invisible, right? But when do you see it? You see it in somebody's actions. So it's a way that you could see it a little bit. Now God doesn't need that to see it, right? He sees it in what it really is. Okay, so going back into this now, actually I want one more passage before we go into James. This is probably the key. I'm just going to give you one. I had several written down that I want to give you. I'm just going to give you one for time's sake. And probably you know this. Hopefully you have some of this memorized. Ephesians 2, 8 through 10. This is Paul writing about this subject. He says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith." Just like we talked about. You're saved by grace through faith. And he says, "And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God." Your salvation is not your own doing. You didn't do it. It's God's gift given to you. So for by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works. Your salvation, the faith you have, all that, none of that is a result of works. That's God's gift, okay? Works are the things you do, so you can't earn your way. And he says, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. No one can stand before God and brag and boast about the things they've done. Now listen to this. This is the one that we don't often hear, but we should actually always remember this one with it. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Right? So if you're saved and you're in Christ, you're saved because of Christ and because of God, but he has prepared in advance good works for you to do. Now if you're going up to camp this week, guess what? You're going to serve the Lord. You're going to serve the Lord. Maybe it's going to be in the kitchen. Maybe it's going to be in the games team. Maybe it's going to be as a counselor. Maybe you're going to be on the prayer team. How many of you are on the prayer team this week for camp? No, I'm starting this right now. Like, okay, no, you guys must not understand what I'm saying. You can join the prayer team right now, even though you can't go to camp. You could be praying about what we're doing up there at camp. How many want to join the prayer team? Okay, now, it's one thing to say you're going to pray and raise your hand, because we're talking about this a little bit. Talk is cheap, all right? Do it, okay? Do it, get it done. And pray, okay? Pray, join the prayer team here. But what we're doing, whether it's praying or we're serving in some capacity or we got people serving in different ways or you have other ways that you're serving, right? I don't know what everybody's doing. But if you're doing something good, you're doing work for the Lord, it says here in this verse that God prepared those things ahead of time for you to do. That's his plan for you. So when he saves us, he doesn't just save us to be saved from sin and that's it. Yes, that's a part of it, and that's a big part of it. He saves us and he justifies us, but then he justifies us for the good works that we're to do. Amen? Amen. To serve him. And so I guess another warning I would say, if you say you're in Christ, if you think you're in Christ, but there's no desire to serve him and to work for him, that's the sign of a problem. That's a sign of a problem there, okay? All right, now, we'll go into James now. He starts with this right away. He said, "What good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can that faith save him?" So, this is somebody that says something. And people say a lot of things, right? This person says, "Hey, I have faith," but he has no works. He has no change. He has no repentance, nothing that goes along with it. And what James is writing, he says, "What good is that?" In fact, it's not good at all. He says, he asked this question, can a faith like that save a person? And I think what he's saying is that there is something that people have that they call faith in Christ, and they believe they have faith in Christ, but it's not a saving faith in Christ. Now, do you remember back in the book of John when Jesus was preaching and he was out there preaching and the crowds were coming, and it says, even says they believed in him, but it says that Jesus would not entrust himself to them because he knew what was in their hearts. So I think the belief they had was a shallow kind of a belief. They believed in the miracles. They believed in what they were seeing. They wanted to go out and see it, but they didn't have a saving faith in Christ. Okay, and we have to really watch. So this is the warning. Now, I'm not the Holy Spirit, and I don't try to play the Holy Spirit for anybody, but the thing is we see in this passage is that if you say you have faith, okay, but there's no evidence of it, that could be a sign of an issue, and it is a sign of an issue. It may mean that you're not saved, or it may mean there's something that you need to deal with and you need to repent and that you need to get this dealt with. Because when we struggle with sin, sometimes we get carried away from the Lord and we get swept far away from the Lord, and it feels like we're not saved. When I believe sometimes the person is saved, they're just so deceived and so carried away. All right, so it's not enough. It's not good. It's not a good thing to just say that you have saving faith, but it actually needs to be producing some fruit in your life. And basically it's a rhetorical question. That kind of faith can't save you. Now he gives an example. He says, if a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warmed and filled, without giving them the things needed for the body, what good is that? So basically this would be a brother or sister in Christ, that you know that brother or sister in Christ doesn't have what they need, they're lacking, and they say that they're lacking, and basically you just give the standard greeting and you say, hey, be well with you. The question is, what does that really do? It doesn't really help meet the person's needs. So what this is, and this isn't the central teaching, this is more the application here. The application, or an application of it, or an example, more of an illustration, I guess I'd say, is talk is cheap. You can say something, you can wish somebody well, you could send them on their way and not help them, and what you say might not do them any good at all. You know, this isn't a perfect example of what I'm going to share, but it's kind of one of those ones that stuck in my mind that a pastor shared one time, and I heard, and I thought, that was really interesting. They were in a big prayer meeting, and a woman came and she shared that her dryer had gone out at home. Her dryer went out at home. And so they all got in a big circle and they all prayed for this woman because her dryer went out. And then someone had the idea that, well, why don't we see who here in this big group could help this lady whose dryer went out? And so they all put their money together. And by the time they got done, they had enough for her to just buy a new dryer, like right there. So in that case, you know, it's one thing, you know, if you just say, hey, I'll just pray about that. But like, if you have the power to do something and to help somebody to actually do that, and they did it, and they were able to buy that lady a dryer right there. So prayers are answered right there on the spot. Amen? But if you just talk about things. Now, one thing I think, just side note, this is something we got to be very careful for. I'm going to go back to that prayer thing. It's a big thing with us. Like somebody comes and they say, oh, this is going on. You go, hey, I'll pray for you. Remember, talk is cheap. Try to do everything you can to never say, I'm going to pray for you, and then turn around and not pray. Amen. So if you say you're going to pray for somebody, do your best to really pray for them. And that's why sometimes when you deal with an old forgetful man like me, I said, can we pray right now? Let's pray right now. It doesn't mean I'm not going to pray later, but it's a conviction. I want to do that, and I want to remember that right now. So that's the example. You know, just saying things doesn't really amount to much. And he says this, and he comes back to the point being, so also faith by itself, just like words by themselves don't mean much, faith by itself, faith without works, is dead. So every faith that's alive produces works, produces change in us. Amen? Amen. Now, this next verse is actually the hard one to understand. But I don't think I'm going to settle it here today. And if you read it in a real shallow way, just kind of quickly, it's really not that hard to understand because the whole gist of the argument is one thing here. But you look at this verse, it's almost like, how do I fit this into what he's saying? He says, but someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith apart from your works and I will show you my faith by my works. So the original one was somebody that says, hey, I have faith and they have no works, right? And this person here, it looks like, okay, if you take it as what it looks like, you have two someones. You know, you have the someone, the first one, which is kind of proclaiming this thing that's not true. And then you have the second someone. He says, you have faith and I have works. So this person is not putting he's not putting all his confidence in this faith. He's actually putting his confidence in works, right? Hey, you have faith, I have works, is what he's saying. Okay, now, the problem here is there are no quotations in Greek. There are no quotations. So one thing is we don't exactly know where this quotation ends. And if you have an NASB Bible, the quotation ends later. If you have some of the, like ESV probably, or some newer translation, it's earlier, okay? So in the way that they wrote it in mine, it says this is the quote, you have faith and I have works. That's the end of the quote. In the NASB, it's you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith apart from your works and I will show you my faith by my works. So the question, is it James writing the second part or is that second part part of the quote? Right? And even if it is, it's still hard, right? Or you have to maybe take this as not an objection to good sound ideas and sound thinkings, you know, like a second objection, which is what it seems like. You might have to take it as something that this is the truth, right? That you demonstrate your faith by your works. And that's how you see it, all right? Okay. Now, it would make a lot of sense if this was actually said like this. But someone will say, you have works, I have faith. Right? If someone says, you have works, I have faith, because the next thing he says, show me your faith apart from your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. It would seem like it would fit the argument of what he's making, because without a doubt, the argument is this. You can't have faith without works. Okay? You might go over your head. I know you have to kind of sit and think about this for a while and try to coherently like map this together. Okay, and there actually are probably about three or four different views on this and how this all plays out. But I did think about one. I read one that said, oh, that might explain it. Okay? And it's a little bit like this. I have it in my own words, okay? But when the person says this, he says, or the someone says, you have faith and I have works. Basically, this person is, it's not so much a statement about what he has or the other person has, but what it is it's a separation of faith and works. If I put it in words like this, okay, you guys, some of you might say this, I'm a man of action, or I'm a woman of action. And another one might say, I'm a man of faith, I'm a woman of faith. Right? And if people make that division, right, you make that division, the correct idea is not, I'm a man of faith, I'm a man of action, right? It's not to make that distinction. What you want to be is a man of faith and action. Amen? A man who acts because of his faith. Amen. All right, so that's the one possible understanding of this, and I think it makes a lot of sense to me and fits in the overall argument here, which is that you can't completely separate. Like, you can't have a faith without works, and you don't want to either have a works without faith, right? Because we know that doesn't work either. That's not effective to save either. So our faith is demonstrated by our works. Now he says, you believe that God is one, And this would be consistent, like especially with the Jewish audience, who this is the number one command for them, the Shema, that they would repeat again and again. Okay, so he says, you believe that God is one. You do well. Even the demons believe and shudder. Now, this is an interesting verse and another key one that kind of fits the idea of the argument here. Okay, just believing in some capacity or saying you believe is not sufficient to be saved, because then the demons would be saved, right? Says the demons believe. What kind of belief do they have? Well, they don't have a belief that surrenders to God. They don't have a belief that trusts God. They don't have a belief that produces repentance. So they don't have that kind of belief, right? So it's, they believe, they see, they understand that God's there, but there's no receiving of Christ. And so the picture of the demons is the same picture for a believer in Christ. When we come to Christ and we believe in Christ, it can't just be like a knowledge, but it's a heart change too. Amen? Amen. Otherwise, we're just like the demons who know the facts, but we don't really surrender to Him in that way. He says, Do you want to be shown, you foolish person? Then that'd be kind of interesting way to talk to people, wouldn't it? You foolish people want me to show you this? So that's in the Bible, guys. That faith apart from works is useless. I guess the idea there, if I brought it back home, that is a foolish idea, isn't it? And that's what he's teaching about, that it's a foolish idea to think that way. Faith apart from works is useless. It doesn't save. Was not Abraham, our father, justified by works when he offered up his son Isaac on the altar? So God commanded Abraham to offer up Isaac on the altar, and he went and he did it, and he was willing to do it, but God said, no, you don't have to sacrifice your son, because I'm going to sacrifice my son. Right? Isn't that what happened? And so he did that, and but he did it out of faith. So because of the faith he had, he took that action. And if he didn't do it, then it would have been a lack of faith because God commanded it. And he says, you see that faith was active along with his works, and faith was completed by his works. Okay, this is another key verse that helps us understand that faith was active. So faith was what was driving things. So it wasn't the action that was driving things. It was the faith that was driving things. Faith was driving his action. And then it says faith was completed. And that completed is the same word that we have for telescope, teleos. But this is the verb form of it. And so basically it's saying that it was brought to what it was intended to be. So through his actions, his faith became what it was meant to be. Amen? And that will be the same picture for you and me when we obey the Lord out of faith. It was completed. And it says, the scripture was fulfilled in that way. Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. And he was called a friend of God. You see that a person is justified by works and not by faith alone. And that's interesting. And so that's why I bring this all together. Here we are saying that we're saved through faith alone. And here, this verse, if you just hone in on just this one verse, it's saying, no, you're not saved by faith alone. Okay, so how do you understand that? How do you reconcile it? And I've kind of given all the clues and everything to it already. Okay, but I think maybe a good thing that kind of sums it up is this, right? We are saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, but faith in Christ is never alone. Follow me? Faith in Christ is never alone. Faith in Christ never comes with any like positive side. It never comes without positive side effects, right? Good things that Christ has done. And so a person is not justified with a faith that doesn't produce works. And then he goes on to say, in that same way, was not Rahab, the prostitute, justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out by another way? So it goes back. Had the example of a patriarch, Abraham. Now the example is of a prostitute, Rahab. who, when the spies came into the land in Jericho, she lied and she hid them and she sent them out another way. Now, I think someone in the room knows where I'm going with this. If he's here, maybe he stepped out for a moment. We always have this great debate in men's Bible study, whether it was okay that Rahab lied. There he is right now. He doesn't even know that we're talking about Rahab lying right now. And it says in the Bible that what Rahab did was done in faith. She wanted to identify herself with those spies that came into the land, and she sent the people looking for them another way. Amen? And so she's the other example of when someone has faith, when they came into the land and they came into Jericho, into her city, she believed what God said. She believed him. She said, you know what? I want to be with God and his people. I want to identify myself with God and his people. And she did that, and God saw her faith, and he received her faith, and she was righteous because of her faith. Then he goes on, he says, for as the body apart from the spirit is dead, so also faith apart from works is dead. So just like a body, like if your body's a tent, it's a temporary thing. Your soul, your spirit lives in it. But when your soul and your spirit leave the body, this body is just material, it's dead. It's no longer alive. In fact, it's no longer you. You've gone on. But what he's saying here is that if you have faith, and it's a faith that doesn't produce any works, then that is a dead faith, and it's not able to save. Amen? Are you glad you came to church today?
Yes.
Okay. All right, so we went through all the passages here, everything in the verses, and I think the thing to remember about this was the summary and the idea and the title, that faith is not alone. It's never alone. All right? And if you are living a life, you know, where you wonder about your salvation, and I'm not here to like shake people up and say, oh, maybe I'm not saved, you know, that kind of thing. But I you have to do enough of this, because this is in the Bible, to have people really examine themselves and really say, is the faith that I'm proclaiming what the Bible is really teaching? And am I really in the faith? And if the answer is, no, I'm not in the faith, then you are invited to enter the faith today. Turn to the Lord today, ask him to help you with your sin, ask him to produce fruit in your life. And then the other thing is, as Christians who want to follow Jesus, there is effort involved. There is turning our lives to him, there is seeking him, there is trying to take this faith, and it says in 2 Peter, take this faith and supplement this faith we have. To basically aim to grow in virtue and knowledge and love and these things. And so to set your heart on serving him and learning about him and growing in him. And it will take effort on your part. Amen?
Amen.
All right, let's pray. Lord, thank you for today. Thank you for this time. Thank you for your goodness and your love. Thank you for the salvation that you offer that's made possible through Jesus and what he did on the cross, Lord. Lord, help us never to be afraid to examine ourselves as to whether we're really walking in that faith, Lord, and guide us and direct us and teach us and shape us. May we not have our confidence in our works that we do, but in you and what you've said, Lord, and just grow us in our faith and change us and change our hearts. Lord, if there's anyone here that today that this message has cause any kind of confusion, any kind of doubt, I pray that that experience would be turned to a good thing, and that what would be left at the end of this is a certainty in you and a strong faith in you and a trust in you. Thank you. We love you and we praise you, and we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.